Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We're located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In his message titled, Small Comforts, Reverend David Williams tells us that our earth is defined by stress and the bustle. On this Christmas morning, forget about the stress, treasure the quietness, and rejoice that God is with us. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Hear now the assurance of God's part. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Today's third scripture reading will be Luke again. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. You can follow along on page 58 of your Pew New Testament. Let us listen again for God's holy word. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, for there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they may be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There is a saying among some of my pastoral brethren and sistren, one that I have honestly struggled with a bit over the years, and one that I struggled with particularly on this lovely Christmas morning. We are, or so the job description supposedly goes, as pastors called to a prophetic vocation meant to afflict the comfortable and to comfort the afflicted. And this is all well and good, I suppose, at least on the comforting the afflicted side, but I never quite got into the whole afflicting the comfortable part of it. I mean, are we meant to be comforting right up until the point at which folks feel that it's finally going to be okay, and then we ask them, hey, are you comfortable now? And they're like, you know, yeah, finally I feel at ease, and then we bop them in the nose, or we point out in the snarkiest possible way that, you know, this season has had its effect and they could really afford to lose a few pounds. I don't know. I don't know. I recognize that we shouldn't be oblivious to need and that we should challenge those who misuse power, but in my nearly 48 years of life, I haven't met a lot of people who don't mostly just need words of comfort and reassurance. And I like comfort. I like it. Williams, after all, is a Welsh name, and I remain convinced that the short-legged, long-torsoed farming people of Wales are likely the inspiration for J.R.R. Tolkien when he wrote these words, which I love. In a hole in the ground there lived a hobbit. Not a nasty, dirty, wet hole filled with the ends of worms and an oozy smell, nor yet a dry, bare, sandy hole with nothing in it to sit down on to eat. It was a hobbit hole, and that means comfort. I like comfort. It's my blood. I am fond of flannel. I'm fond of flannel. Flannel, the flannel sheet season is the best season. I am fond of the feeling of a load of laundry when you've taken it out of the dryer on a winter day and you take that pile of clothes and you go, whoof, onto your face and you go, oh, oh, oh. I like comfort. I like curling up with family on the sofa with a big bucket of popcorn and watching something that has us all laughing together. I like the soul comfort of singing with family, of now hearing the bass and tenor of my boys as they stand on either side of me and sing harmony as we sing carols together. It's comfortable. And comfort is its own form of joy. It's not a loud joy. It's greater, I think, than loud joys. And so again, we hear from Luke this morning. That story of the season echoing in our ears. And what's striking is in Luke's story that it is, even though this is a challenging apocalyptic tale, as I laid out last night, Luke's story lacks almost any trace of the negative. It doesn't talk at great length about tension and dysfunction and sorrow, even though those things were very, very manifest in the ancient world. We don't hear from Luke, although Luke was a wise teacher of the world, we don't hear in this story the furtive geopolitical whisperings of Herod and his plans and his plots. We don't hear about wise men who needed to steer clear of surreptitious, foxy leaders on their way out of town. We don't hear much about the fears of the young man Joseph, whose fiancée has conceived without him really knowing quite how that happened. A conception that could doom her to death or a lifetime of isolation, a fear he had that he needed a dream to shake loose from his soul. No, Matthew's gospel gives us most of that. And that may be why we don't read Matthew for Christmas. Most Christmas Eves are Christmas mornings. Instead, when the time comes for the telling of this tale, we pretty much always tell Luke. And Luke's story, in this part of it, is relentlessly, defiantly joyous. Because Luke understands it. That is the nature of the tidings that are being brought on Christmas. And it is the purpose of the message on this particular day. It is a day of good tidings, of great joy, as the angel did say to certain poor shepherds in fields as they tried not to pass out from sheer terror. Those realities, those challenges of life are certainly there. But in choosing to emphasize the most gracious elements of the season, Luke is making a point as a storyteller, as an interpreter of a narrative. Luke is saying, this point in this story is fundamentally about hope and joy, and as we retell it, our retelling should serve that purpose. We retell this story every year for a reason, the same reason we retell the story of our own selves in our minds, in our memories. The grace and joy of this season, and in this story told this way, is meant to define our understanding of our path and our lives together. And in doing so, it defines who we know ourselves to be. Because this sacred story is a remembering. It's a remembering that defines our present in the same way that our own memories, our interpretations of those memories, shapes who we are right now. What the gospel message offers as it rises up from the collective memory of a dozen cultures and languages over thousands of years of repetition is that memory that shapes us. That is what that story is doing now. It is a narrative that in the retelling, in the remembering, has the power to transform. It is a memory that is both ours because we've heard this story enough that it is familiar, even just in the last 24 hours. Twice we've heard it. It is a story that defines us. And it is a story told in a season that has other stories in it. There are other echoes, other narratives in this season, other stories personally and culturally that may not be so joyous. And as we move through the years of our life, those less joyful stories can also build up. They can come to consume our memory, take on lives of their own as they define us. Because just as stories of hope and promise and comfort work within us to shape us, so too can stories of brokenness and sorrow and anger. In this retelling, in choosing this story this day, we acknowledge that we can choose how we interpret the experiences of our past. Even suffering, anything, we can interpret our pasts with grace. And if we do that, it can shape our actions in the present, our sense of ourself in the present moment. And that, in turn, creates forms and shapes the reality we will encounter in our future. In this season, we are reminded not to be ensnared by less pleasant memories of the past, but instead embracing the potential for joy in the same way that Luke, in this telling, embraces joy. He says, "Let this story define you." And in this tale, let your lives tell that story and then step into a space that is defined by quiet joy. He asks us to listen to this tale like Mary. Like Mary, who at the end of the telling of the story, every season we hear, she listens to the story the shepherds bring her and she takes it in. She takes it into the heart of herself. And she ponders it and considers it and lets it shape and change her. So here, as we gather in the quiet of this Christmas morning, listening to the story of that first Christmas again, let that sink in a little. Hear its message of comfort. Not a comfort that is false, but a comfort that is deep and real and alive. Let that define and sustain you. Let that message of a humble birth, message of good news and great joy, let that be your story this morning and for this season. And again, though I may have said it a couple times last night, Merry Christmas, and let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
We walk out of this little place into days that will be filled with bustle and prepping and shredding of wrapping paper as people get quickly at the things that are there for them. We move out of this place into a world that is so often defined by bustle and anxiety and stress and strangeness, and into that, we bring the quiet of this morning, bring the quiet of last night with the candles and the light. We step out into a world that shimmers with stress, and we are asked, give that word of joy, of quiet comfort, of a silent word that pleads for the world to still just for a second and consider what its purpose is. On this Christmas morning, we in this place remember that that purpose is Emmanuel, is God with us, God born and humble and a part of the world around us, a word writ into a little child who would grow to a man who would teach us that compassion and kindness and healing are all of our paths. On this Christmas day and in the weeks and months and life to come, remember the comfort of that purpose. And let that be your purpose this Christmas day and always. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us this morning and all of our days. Amen.